Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I don't have anything really earth-shattering, anything deep here tonight. I kind of went back and forth about how to begin a meeting like this. I mean, 5 nights, 5 days of preaching, where do you kind of start? But I'd like to read a verse here in 1 Corinthians 9 and kind of use that as a jumping-off point here, and we'll have a word of prayer and then get into the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And down in verse 16, 1 Corinthians 9, 16. And Paul says here, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Let's have a word of prayer quickly, and then we'll get into the message. Lord, thank you again for all that you've done to allow us to be here tonight. Lord, like we've been singing, we sure owe a great debt of love to you. We sure owe a great debt of worship to you. We owe our life and breath to you and all that we have. And so, Lord, help us now to take a little time and just worship you and praise you for what you've done for us. Lord, may our thoughts be right. May they be toward praising you. May our response be right. And, Lord, I pray you just use the message now tonight to minister your words to your people. And Lord, I realize that I don't give you much to work with, but I pray that you would bless the message, bless the time we spend here, and may it be used for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 makes a pretty emphatic statement there about the necessity to preach the gospel. Paul says there that there is a necessity laid upon him to preach, and he says, "Woe is me if I don't." And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the importance of preaching, the importance of being influenced by preaching in your life. Not just being a preacher, not just being called to preach and preaching the Word of God, but being influenced, being around preaching, being subject to preaching, there's a real importance in it. When you look throughout church history and you start all the way back in the New Testament there with the early church, it goes all the way back to the Old Testament really, but all through history, God has called men to preach His words, to proclaim His words. And some of those men, by just proclaiming God's words, have changed history. Many of those men have. And when I say changed history, I mean changed the course of some nations just by what they preached. Just by taking God's words and proclaiming them. So preaching has a real importance. And not just to be a preacher. If God's called you to preach, well then preach the word, like Paul told Timothy. But if he hasn't, then you should spend your life as a Christian being around preaching and subjecting yourself to preaching. Good Bible-believing preaching. Good Bible preaching that is going to edify and exhort. And I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'll stop at that right there. But you need to subject yourself to preaching. Now, I want to introduce it by saying a few things about what God does through preaching. Number one, He manifests His Word through preaching. God has chosen preaching to manifest His words. God's words, obviously, are how He reveals Himself and how He reveals salvation. But those words, sitting on a shelf somewhere, sitting anywhere without being proclaimed, they're going to do the lost no good. They're not going to do any man any good if they're just sitting on a shelf. So they must be preached. Look with me over in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 1. Paul says to Titus, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times, that'll be now, manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Paul tells Titus that God has chosen to manifest His words through preaching. And so if that's the case, then you and I as Bible believers ought to be influenced by preaching if His word is manifested through preaching. We ought to be subject to Bible-believing preaching. You know, all through history, God, the first preacher that we know of by title is Noah. Genesis chapter 6, a preacher of righteousness. God told Noah, go out there and build that ark, and we don't have anything that he said, but we know he had a huge illustration behind him for what he was preaching. It was pretty obvious what his message was. Noah was to preach and to be a preacher of righteousness and to preach that judgment that was going to come upon men for their imaginations being evil from their youth. God called men, going back to Amos. Amos was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit, and the Lord said, Amos, I want you to stop gathering sycamore fruit, and I want you to go and preach. I want you to go and prophesy unto Israel. He called Jonah and told Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh. Called Micah and told Micah to go and preach to the kings of Judah. Called Haggai and said, hey, Haggai, go over there to Zerubbabel, the governor there, and Joshua, and preach to those men and tell the rest of the men in Judah there that, hey, you've kind of let the house of God go to waste. While you're building your houses and doing all this to build up your own houses and deck them with all these nice things, the house of God is being laid waste. So go and preach to them and tell them, consider your ways. He had to preach God's word to them. Elijah was told to go and preach to Ahab and tell him that because of Ahab's sin that he was going to bring a drought. God's words were manifested to Ahab through Elijah. God told John the Baptist, go and prepare the way for my son. Go and preach and prepare the way, and don't even tell them who you are when they come to ask. Just go prepare the way. Just be a voice. And so John did. And when Christ came, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He proclaimed God's words, manifested God's words to the nation. God called Peter, God called Paul, and the list goes on and on throughout church history. God called Chrysostom, the golden-mouthed preacher. God called men like Savonarola to stand up against the Catholic Church and the wickedness that they were reveling in. He called John Wycliffe and the Lollards and John Huss, and the list goes on and on. And it comes right up to today with you and I. It didn't stop with just church history. It didn't stop with just the New Testament men being called to preach. It comes up to our day. God's still calling men to preach because He manifests His Word through preaching. And I wonder how many of you that are called to preach or maybe not called to preach are still proclaiming His words at least the best way you can. Are you putting His Word out like you should be? Are you taking opportunities when you have them to just say something for the Lord? Preach it, just quote a verse to somebody. Something that'll let them know that all of your faith and all of your trust is in this book. Something that'll just let them know that, hey, without Jesus Christ, they're going to go to hell. It's important. You need to keep preaching it. But listen, maybe you're not called to preach. Maybe you're just attending the church here. You're working a job. You're doing what God's told you to do. Well, listen, since God's Word is manifested through preaching, subject yourself to it as much as possible. Get under it as much as possible. It'll be a light in your life. It'll be a guide in your life, and it'll be some help, some real help to you. God's words are manifested through preaching. Now, I want to move from that and begin to talk a little bit about the influence of preaching. And I want to say, first of all, that the influence of preaching for you and I is a real reality check. And it should be. Good Bible-believing preaching should not allow men of the world and who are living in the world, it should not allow them to be comfortable. You and I, we spend our time throughout the week in the world. We have to. We work jobs. We have to go to Walmart to buy things. We have to spend time taking our kids to school. We have duties. We have responsibilities. We have to spend time in the world. We have to spend time around other people. And all of those things are necessary. I'm not taking anything away from that. But if you and I are not careful, we begin to think that those are the important things about life. We begin to look at all the things that we see and the things that keep us busy as the real important things in life. And sometimes you and I need to walk into a church building like Asaph did back there in Psalm 73. He almost slipped. He says his foot almost slipped. He almost went off the deep end until he went into the sanctuary. And in the sanctuary, he heard some preaching and he got the words of God. And so you and I sometimes just need to walk into a church building and hear some good, straight, Bible-believing, hard preaching sometimes just to give us a little kick in the seat of the pants. Give us a reality check and say, look, all of the stuff that we consume our time with often is not what's important. It's the stuff we can't see that really matters. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4 and verse 18. Paul says this, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, again, I'm not taking anything away from our daily duties. I realize those things are the things that lead to the big decisions in life that have to be made. I realize that every bush in the Christian life is a burning bush. There is nothing that you could say in the Christian life that is secular and then this is Christian. Your whole life is to be lived as a Christian. I realize that. But often we get so busy, we get so consumed with just stuff, even though it's important stuff, that we put all of our emphasis and all of our mindset on that, and we forget that, hey, there are some real souls out there that are dying and going to hell. There are some real needs out there with the brethren. I mean, there are some real problems that need to be taken care of spiritually. There is a mindset that I'm supposed to carry throughout the day spiritually. My thoughts are supposed to be right. My walk with the Lord is supposed to be right. I'm supposed to be fighting some spiritual battles. It's not all about just doing physical stuff. There's some real reality check needed often. And preaching is important to do that. You say, well, aren't the words of God important in that way? Yeah, they are, but how many Christians are reading the Bible nowadays? I mean, that's evidence. It just got quiet. How many people are reading their Bible? How many Christians are reading the Bible? I'm amazed sometimes when, you know, you say something from a pulpit that's in the Bible that's supposed to be common knowledge if you've read through your Bible maybe three or four times. And you just get blank stares from some of your congregation. And you're like, wait a minute, didn't you grow up in a Bible-believing home? And weren't you raised in a good... Shouldn't you have read your Bible through at least a few times by now? Where that's not a foreign thought? But that's not the case anymore. Nobody's reading the Bible. They're watching YouTube videos. Listen, I'm not against watching a video if you need to learn something, but this is what's important. This is what matters. This is what builds your Christian life. And if you're not going to expose yourself to the Word of God, at least expose yourself to the preaching of the Word of God and allow it to be a reality check in your life. You know, over in the book of Hebrews, don't turn there, but in verse 13 of chapter 11, the Bible speaks there of Abraham, and it says there that he confessed that he was a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. You know, sometimes I think we forget. We just get busy, and I think we forget that that's our stand here, and that's where we are in this life. We're not putting roots down here. This is supposed to just be a passing through place. We're strangers here. We're pilgrims here. We're just pitching tent for a little while. This is not our home. And sometimes preaching just gives us a little reality check and says, hey, don't forget. Don't be laying up treasure here. Don't forget, this world is not your home. You're just passing through. And you need preaching to be a reality check in your life. I want to say something else about the importance of preaching. Good Bible preaching is important because it exalts Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is exalted through the preaching of someone who's preaching through the words of God. You know, they could be preaching the whole counsel of God and really not necessarily be preaching directly on Jesus Christ, but it's still going to give Christ the preeminence because it's the Word of God. Good Bible-believing preaching will exalt Jesus Christ. I like the example of John the Baptist over there in John chapter 1. Most of you know the story there, but when he comes and he's baptizing and there in the River Jordan, the Pharisees come to him and ask him, hey, who are you? Who art thou? And I love how he just totally avoids their question, but it's not because he's playing a game with them. John the Baptist is so focused in on making sure that he points to Jesus Christ and points the attention to Jesus Christ that when they ask him who he is, he doesn't even tell them his name. Because his name's not important. They come and say, "Who are you? What are you doing? What are your credentials? What are you all about?" And he says, "Listen, I'm just the voice. The only reason I'm here is that when Christ shows up, I'm going to point the finger to him and say, he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the one I've been preaching about. He's the one whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. It's all about him." John the Baptist is a great example. Even in our preaching and in our circles, how often we try to make it about us? How often we try to make it about a good sermon? It's not about a good sermon. It's not about making sure that you folks leave here tonight or the end of the week and say, he's a good preacher. We all know you're not going to say that, but it's not about that. It's not about what you think about my preaching other than, did it point you to Jesus Christ? Did it put the attention on Christ and say, okay, Christ is what's important, not necessarily the messenger, not necessarily what he had to say, but about the fact that he pointed the finger to Christ. Charles Spurgeon was preaching a message one time, and two men were walking out of the meeting there, and as they walked out and were walking back to their place where they were residing for the time, the two were talking, and the one asked the other, he said, "So what'd you think about the preacher tonight? I mean, he's pretty eloquent, wasn't he?" And Charles Spurgeon, I mean, he's known as the Prince of Preachers. He was a very eloquent preacher. That other man looked at the other man and he said, "Listen, man, I have to tell you, I was so consumed with the man he was preaching about, I didn't even have time to examine the man that was preaching." And Charles Spurgeon was exalting Jesus Christ to the point where the man said, I couldn't even put my attention on the man behind the pulpit because I was thinking so much of Christ. Man, I wish I could preach like that. I know every Bible-believing preacher wishes he could preach like that. But the point is, Bible-believing preaching is to exalt Jesus Christ. And listen, if it does, you want to be around that. You and I ought to be around that. That's what our life's all about. It's about exalting Him. It's about glorifying Him. So if it does that, then we ought to want to be around it. We ought to want to be influenced by it. I'll never forget, I went to hear a preacher preach. I won't say his name. Some of you may know him, but went to hear him preach in another church back in our town in Pensacola. And I had heard a lot about the guy and had even heard a sermon about him. And honestly, I can't even say I was really going to hear him preach because I really thought I'd get anything from it. And it's a good thing I didn't. But I really just wanted to hear him preach. It was he was a big to-do, big evangelist. And so anyway, I went to hear him preach. Or I went supposedly to hear him preach. I'm sitting there in the congregation there and with some other guys from our church. It was on an off night. I didn't go on a Sunday because we had our own services at Bible Baptist, but went on like a Friday night. And we're sitting in the back there, and I mean, the guy wasn't in the congregation. He was nowhere around. And all of a sudden, when it came time for the guy to preach, he comes like busting out of this door on the side. And he's got a boxing gown on. And he's got a huge boxing ring on his ring, and he comes out of the door and he's doing this number, you know, throwing, air boxing while he's stepping out toward the pulpit, you know, he's doing this number like he's a boxer because he was a former boxer. And my first thought was, who is this guy? What is he doing? Is he here to preach or beat somebody up? What's he doing? Well, he got announced as, you know, a former boxer fighting for the faith and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that turned me off right away. Well, then the guy gets in the pulpit and he looks down at a guy that's on the front row sitting over here. And the guy on the front row's got sunglasses on. And the preacher, began preaching. And when he noticed that, it bothered him, I guess. And so he looked over and he said something along the lines of, "Young man, take those glasses off. Who do you think you are? Take those sunglasses off in church." And that's what he was known for. He was known for calling people out and being a real jerk while he's preaching. But anyway, he did that. And The guy didn't take his sunglasses off. There was another man sitting beside him and was trying to tell the preacher, listen, he needs to wear them. He needs to wear them. And the preacher proceeded to cut the guy down, and it was just an awful scene. It was horrible. And eventually, the guy sitting beside the guy with sunglasses said, sir, he's blind. He needs to wear the sunglasses. His eyes are, you know, his eyes are all over the place. It'll be embarrassing, whatever. So the guy just made a total fool out of himself. You know what I left there thinking that day after I heard him supposedly preach? I thought, you know what his ministry's about? It's about him. It's about him making sure he's a big shot. It's about him making sure that everybody knows that he's elevated above everybody else. It isn't about Christ at all. It was a waste of time to go in here and preach. And it's been a waste of time any time I've heard him preach since then. You're preaching, Bible-believing preaching exalts Christ. And if it's going to exalt Christ, you want to be around it. I read a story about a man who preached a revival, and he was riding back with a man and woman going back to where he was staying, and passed a really big church, nice fancy church on their way back to where he was staying. And he asked the couple there, because it was about a 40-minute drive to the church where he was preaching, he asked the couple while he's riding in the car, he said, listen, how come you don't go to that church? It's a lot closer to where you stay. I mean, it's only a few minutes away, and this church is quite a ways away. And the man said, the man that was driving said, listen, I'm a banker, and I deal in an industry where there's just a lot of crookedness that goes on, a lot of sin goes on, a lot of filth in that field, and a lot of boasting, a lot of pride. And he said, you know, when I go to this church, even though I've got to drive a little further, when I go there, my preacher, he exalts Jesus Christ. And that's what carries me through my job every week. If I went to that church, I'd hear big bands, I'd hear funny stories, I'd hear great illustrations, but I wouldn't get Christ. And he said, it's more important for me to get Jesus Christ than my preaching. That's what will carry me through every week. Now, Bible-believing preaching is important because it exalts Jesus Christ. You know, you could come into church, and I could attest to this, but you could come into church and you could hear a sermon that's, I mean, fine-tuned right down to what your particular problem is in life, whenever it is, whatever's going on. And you could hear a sermon like that, and that sermon help you and lift you up out of the doldrums and give you some help and give you some encouragement and lift you back up and bring you back up on your feet. But sometimes just walking into church and hearing a good sermon on Christ is sometimes all you need. Because often, even if you hear a sermon that's fine-tuned to your problem, that doesn't necessarily make the problem go away. But when you hear a sermon that exalts Jesus Christ and it makes Him preeminent and gets your eyes back on Him, well, then the problems kind of fade a little bit. Then the things that you think were a big deal that you thought you wanted to go away, then you start thinking, well, it's all about Him anyway. And if that's what He wants, then I can keep it in my life as long as He's exalted. Jesus Christ is exalted in Bible-believing preaching, so it's important. I want to tell you something else. Bible-believing preaching is important because it's exhorting and it's edifying. It's exhorting and it's edifying. Over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Bible says there that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And then in the following verse there, he says, but we're to exhort one another. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. It's actually in the same verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And I realize the context there is, actually, I wanted to read verse 24 with that also, if we could read Hebrews 10, 24. Let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. And then verse 25. And so the context is us assembling together and provoking each other to good works, provoking each other to want to serve the Lord. And we're not to forsake the assembling for that purpose. But also, in that same context, the preaching of the Word of God is edifying, and it's exhorting, and it builds up. And for that reason, it's important, and you and I ought to be influenced by it, ought to be around it. You know, sometimes There have been several times in my life, and one or two times in particular, where my wife and I were going through something that was a little difficult for a few years there. And man, just coming into church and hearing the preaching was sometimes all that it took for us to be able to put one foot in front of the other and just put another foot in front of the other, put another foot in front of the other for days and for weeks and for months at a time. Just hearing the preaching. And it wasn't always soft. I mean, I grew up under Dr. Ruckman. Some of it was pretty hard. Some of it was like, look, just get over yourself already, okay? Stop your whining and just get over your problem. But listen, it's exactly what I needed to hear to just say, look, it's about the Lord anyway. Let's just keep moving forward. And I was exhorted. I was edified through preaching, and it helped build us up. There was a time in my life where the Lord really spared me from some things that really could have turned out kind of bad. And it was really through the result of just preaching. There was a time when I was headed down a wrong road when I was a young man. And I was headed down where I didn't belong, didn't need to go. And I remember taking some tapes and plugging them in, some preaching tapes by Brother Donovan. I really don't even know why I did it. But just plugging in some tapes in my truck there on the way to work a few times. And man, I tell you what, there was some real rebuke there. There was some real ministering there that got my feet back on the right track. Just through preaching. Just through the influence of preaching. Preaching is edifying. It's exhorting. And you know, just sometimes hearing a weekly sermon can be all it takes to just encourage you to go another day. I want to say something else about the importance of preaching. Preaching is important because it serves as a warning. It serves as a warning. Look with me over in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, and let's look at verse 15. We could start in verse 16. Ezekiel 3:16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. The Bible says there that Ezekiel is set as a watchman. He's set up on a higher place in a tower, the picture is, a watchtower set up in the top of that tower that overlooks a city. And he's to be a watchman who cries out when there's danger. Those watchmen there of some of the ancient cities, they'd sit up in those towers, and their only job was just to be circumspect and be watching constantly. Because outside the city walls, where the inhabitants of the city couldn't see and really didn't know much about what's going on behind the walls, they needed to be warned when danger was coming long before it showed up at the gates of the city. And that watchman would sit up there in the top of that tower, and off in the distance he might see some dust gathering and some horse hooves. He'd hear them, and he'd blow that trumpet. And he'd warn those inhabitants of that city that, hey, danger's coming, you better get ready. Long before it showed up. And you know, a preacher, I don't know how you look at what your preacher is, but a preacher is set up as a watchman over his congregation. A preacher is set up over his congregation because he's praying for his congregation. He's thinking about the good of his congregation. He's watching for their souls, Hebrews 13 says, as they that must give an account. The preacher has to set himself up in a watchtower, not to elevate himself above the people as far as a proud standing, but to be spiritually minded, to be spiritually in connection with the Lord, to be filled with the Spirit in order to be able to warn some people. And sometimes a preacher has to stand in a pulpit and he has to say negative things that go against some things you might think or the direction that you're headed in. because he's a watchman over your soul. And instead of taking it as a warning, you scoff at it and you just kind of treat it like it's not important. A watchman has to stand up and say, hey, listen, there's something I know that you don't see it. You're involved in your life. You're involved in the circumstances of what's going on. And I want to try to help you. And this is what's going wrong. You need to stop doing that before it ends up where it's going to. And you scoff at it and you mock it and you say, what business does he have to try to tell me what to do? Well, he's your watchman. He's looking out for your soul. He cares about you. He's warning you. You don't see the danger coming. You're involved in your own life. You're involved in your own circumstances. You don't see outside the city walls. You don't see beyond just the circumstances you're in, but the watchman does. The watchman knows what he's seeing, and he knows there's danger. And he doesn't have to come to you in particular and say it to this person and that person, but sometimes he broadcasts a warning, and are you taking it? There's some good warnings against getting involved in social media. There's some good warnings against getting involved too much in politics. Some good warnings in getting involved in stuff, because many a watchman has seen some people get diverted and get derailed from doing what they're supposed to be doing for the Lord because they get too involved in some things. Are you taking the warning? Good Bible-believing preaching is important because it serves as a warning. I wonder how many marriages have been saved just because a watchman stood up in a pulpit and he preached a sermon. Maybe didn't even know what he was really getting across to that particular individual, but I wonder how many marriages were saved just because a man stood as a watchman and preached something directly for them. I wonder how many young people were kept out of the far country, were kept from being a prodigal just because of some preaching. I wonder how many lives have been, I wonder how many untimely deaths didn't take place because somebody took the warning from the watchman and said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take the warning. But it was all because they were subject to preaching. Preaching serves as a warning, and it should. But I wonder if you're taking it. There's all kinds of warnings that preachers have to give, and sometimes they're direct, sometimes they're indirect. But if God's word is manifested through preaching, and the preaching serves as a warning, you ought to take it. You ought to take it to heart. You ought to take it serious. It could mean your life. It could mean your family. It could mean your ministry. You better take the warning seriously. I want to tell you something else, just maybe a couple more things here, and I'll be done. I won't be very long here tonight. But preaching is important because it forces you to make a choice. Good Bible-believing preaching puts you in a position where you have to choose a side. You say, no, I don't. I can choose to just walk out of here and not make a choice. There's your choice. That is your choice. But it forces you to make a choice. You see, it's just like the watchman in the watchtower giving out a warning. Once he gives the warning, the blood's no longer on his hands. What you do with the warning, that you make the decision. You can choose to do nothing, and you've made your decision. Or you can choose to take heed to the warning, and you've made the right decision. But preaching forces you to make a decision, and that is good for you and I. That is one of the best things about preaching, is it brings you to a point where you have to say, all right, I'll either take heed to that or I won't. And whether you do anything about it physically, at least in your heart, you've made the decision. There's example after example in the Old Testament. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua brings the people of Israel there to the valley there in Shechem. And it's an interesting geography right there, because he brings them to the valley of Shechem for more than just because it's a decent valley to meet in and have a nice sermon there to preach to them. The valley of Shechem lies between the two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And if you remember in the Old Testament there, those two mountains were supposed to be set up there when the children of Israel came into the land. Those two mountains had some things carved on them, and on Mount Ebal were carved some curses. There was a stone up there where some curses were carved if the children of Israel were disobedient. And on Mount Gerizim were some blessings that were carved if the children of Israel were obedient. So Joshua brings those people into the valley of Shechem, and he preaches them a sermon, gives them a good history lesson there, and he says, now listen, you can choose to serve those gods of the Amorites, or you can choose to serve God, but listen, there's the two mountains in the back, in the distance, and I don't know if he pointed to them, the Bible doesn't say, but boy, there was the illustration. I mean, just like Noah with an ark standing behind him while he's preaching, there's a great illustration. Joshua says, you better choose, because there's the blessings and there's the curse, but you better choose. Choose you this day, Joshua says. They got to make a choice. And they say, well, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua proceeds to tell them they can't because they haven't gotten rid of their idols. But the point is, Joshua says, choose now. Preaching makes you take toll of what you've heard and make a choice. Elijah back there in 1 Kings 18, he brings those prophets out there and something like 850 prophets. And he says, listen, if the Lord's God, then serve Him. If Baal's God, then serve Him. How long halt ye between two opinions? Make up your mind. You know, that's what a Bible-believing preacher and good Bible preaching will do. It'll bring you to a point where you just say, listen, choose already. Choose to obey it or choose to disobey it, but choose something. Now, you might say, well, what's so good about that? Well, it keeps you and I from just trying to skate by in this Christian life. It keeps you and I from just trying to take it easy in the Christian life. You know, maybe sometimes you come into church and there really is no intention of really hearing anything from God or really changing anything. You just come because it's a duty. It's what you do. You come because you don't want people asking why you weren't there. Maybe you come because you have a ministry here and it's just something that you've gotten in a habit of doing. But I realize all of us at some point in time have come into church and not really thought a whole lot about getting something from God or really wanting to make a change in life. It's just what we do sometimes. But coming in here and then hearing the Word of God stamped on your heart forces you to do something about it. At that point, you can no longer skate by, and that's good for us. We need that. We need a little bit of a kick sometimes to say, look, make a choice. Moses comes down from the mountain there in Exodus 32 after the children of Israel have made that golden calf and they're dancing and committing adultery and all the stuff that's going on down there. And he comes down from that mountain and he says, who was on the Lord's side? And he gathers up some Levites there that join him and goes and slays those people committing all that wickedness. But you know what? You notice what he says. He says, hey, choose sides. Don't just make a choice, but who's on the Lord's side? Good Bible preaching forces you, makes you choose a side. You can choose God's side on the matter, or you can choose your side on the matter, and one is right and one is wrong. But you have to choose. You have to make a choice. The best thing for you to do, Christian, is to make a choice. I mean, maybe you think this is going too far the other way, but listen, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 that God would rather have you cold or hot, not lukewarm. And even to the point of, if you're going to make the wrong decision, well, listen, just make it already. Don't just skate by being lukewarm your whole life. Don't just try and skate by as a mediocre Christian. Make a decision already. Choose one way or the other. At least if you choose the wrong way, at least God can start dealing with you then. At least God can start chastening you as a son then. When you remain lukewarm, God can't even deal with you. He can't get through to you. You constantly try to ride the fence. God can't get through to a person like that who's just trying to ride comfortably. If you just choose already, God can start chastening you. But you got to choose. And good Bible-believing preaching forces a choice. I want to say lastly that good Bible-believing preaching is important because it brings sinners to Jesus Christ. Good Bible-believing preaching was chosen by God, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I don't know if anybody's coming here lost tonight. I don't really expect there to be many visitors on a Wednesday night. But if there are, and you've stepped in here and you don't know that you're saved, you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, I would be a fool to stand up here and give a message on the importance of preaching and not preach to you Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only man that died for your soul. He is the only sacrifice that God will accept when it comes to your sin. God requires a payment for sin. God requires righteousness. And you can't get righteousness. You cannot get a payment for your sin outside of Jesus Christ. You must have His blood to be the propitiation for your sin, to be the covering for your sin, to be the payment that God is satisfied with. It must come through the blood of Christ. And preaching is what gets across the message of the gospel. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know of a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And you can know before leaving here tonight that you're saved. You can know that Jesus Christ has paid for your sins and that you're on your way to heaven before you leave tonight. You can know that. I remember I was standing on a street corner one time, preaching there in Pensacola, and really it was kind of a dead day. There just wasn't a whole lot going on. Not a whole lot of opposition. Not a whole lot of good. Just kind of some days are like that. People just don't care. It's the age we're in. But I remember I was preaching and a little discouraged about how there just was no response. You'd almost rather have somebody yelling at you than just to have nothing. And so I remember after that, I walked over to a man that was holding a sign there, a furniture sign, and he was standing there, just standing on the corner, holding the sign. I thought, I'm going to go over and talk to this guy. Nobody wanted to listen to the preaching, so I'll go talk to him. So I walked over there and I handed him a tract, started to witness to him, and gave him about 2 or 3 minutes of the gospel. When I got done, I said, hey, have you ever received Christ as your Savior? And he kind of looked at me with this odd look, and he kind of looked up, and he said, yeah, I have. And I said, okay, well, praise the Lord. When was that? He said, well, I did it while you were preaching. I was listening to what you were saying, and I asked the Lord to save me. I thought, well, okay, that's pretty good. I mean, here I was thinking nothing was going on and the Lord's not using the preaching and this guy's standing over here. I wasn't even paying attention. I didn't even know he was there until I was done and I saw him standing there with the sign. I thought, well, I'll go talk to him. But here's a guy paying attention. And through the preaching of the gospel, I mean, I was repeating a lot of the same verses and just giving some simple salvation verses. But here's a guy that was saved through the preaching of the Word of God. Preaching is important because it brings sinners to Jesus Christ. And I'll say this, it's the only way to bring sinners to Jesus Christ. It's the only way for a man to be saved is to hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I hope you're preaching the gospel. Whether you're called to preach or not, I hope you're preaching. I hope you're telling other people about Jesus Christ at work, at school, when you go to the supermarket. I know that COVID has changed everything. I mean, I'm carrying a mask in my pocket. I never used to do that. I carry a mask because you never know when you're going to need it to walk into a place. I never used to do that. I didn't care about wearing a mask. But now you got to think about it everywhere you go. And it's changed things. You can't witness to people like you used to be able to. You go to hand them a tract and some people just avoid you. They don't want you anywhere close. It's hard to talk to people through a mask. It's more difficult now than it's ever been, probably, to witness and to preach the gospel. But listen, if that's all it takes to stop us from preaching, we're in a sad case. If all it takes is being forced to wear a mask to stop you from putting out tracts and stop you from preaching the gospel, we're in a bad way. Because many a Christian in the past, many a Christian in church history has been put up against a lot worse for preaching the gospel. So I think you and I can bear a little bit of grief and bear a little bit of strife, and I don't like it any more than the next guy, but I think we can bear a little bit of it just because preaching is that important. It gets the gospel to sinners. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank you for the